At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Wow, that's a joke. Of course we have rational thoughts today. Always, but it's a lot of fun to have, you know, talk about what we say in the world here. I have a guest today, guys, and before you get too excited, make sure you click below and subscribe, like us, all that good jazz. But the guy we're having on the show today, man, he founded a company called Ideal Shape, which was an internet-based company focused on health nutrition, which reached $40 million retail sales before he got bought out by a multi-multi-billion-dollar international e-commerce company. Our guest has always had a passion for product development, and he's earned a degree in business, attending BYU. He and three partners built a line of Sounds Easy stores, which successfully grew to 110 stores in 28 states. This is real entrepreneur stuff. He's written and co-authored 4 books and created a brain training CD series. In 2016, he was nominated by Ernst & Young as Entrepreneur of the Year. Wow, celebrity. Over the past couple decades, he's motivated thousands of people to get healthy. And as a cancer survivor and someone who has fought and overcome multiple health challenges, his mission is to help others achieve their optimal health. It's not just business, it's personal for this guy. He and his wife, Carla, recently founded the company Eating to Live, which provides functional nutritional counseling, robust e-learning program, meal plans, recipes, brain training, nutritional supplements, and they also authored the accompanying book, Eating to Live. They produce videos, podcasts, speaking events, supporting people on their journey towards optimal health. He and his wife are currently advisory board members, investors, and mentors for multiple companies and other entrepreneurs. And of course, why he's not working, which I don't know when that is, you can find him fly fishing, probably don't bug him, traveling, playing competitive pickleball, or enjoying life with his 7 children and 18 grandchildren. Welcome to the show today, David Mean. David, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome, Doug.
Wow, what a resume. Very impressive. So this health journey, just casually mentioned, cancer, multiple health challenges. That's obviously very, very important, but I want to go back into the pickleball thing. So what the heck is pickleball?
That's a great question. Can I just start off first by thanking you for having me on your show?
Sure.
Doug, you're amazing. I appreciate this opportunity. And it's a great show. And, you know, to answer your question about pickleball, my wife and I qualified for the National Senior Games in Houston, Texas, and in tennis. And while we were there competing in tennis, they had this exhibition going on for this little weird game. I thought it was weird because they had this little ball about this big, had wiffle, holes in it. And they had kind of the size of little ping pong rackets. And they were hitting this ball over a smaller net, smaller court. And they kept saying, "You ought to try this." And I kept going, "No, wait a second. We're real tennis players, whatever." And the funny thing is that we ended up taking a bronze medal for the whole United States. The Senior Olympics is like the, is really cool. It's kind of like the Olympics overall, but it was funny. They finally got me to play and my wife. And so we played, came back, if you can believe it, 8 years ago. We put down our tennis rackets and we've played pickleball ever since. We've played in several hundred tournaments. I'm in a tournament in a month with my wife at the Huntsman Senior Games. It's a great sport, very social, and it's fun, fast, and it's not hard on your body.
That is amazing. It reminds me of a story. I used to be big into scuba diving. I still have scuba diving and underwater photography. And I always wanted to, get in that business. It's an extremely narrow business. And I found a guy that made underwater video housings in Chicago where I was living, and I started working for him. And believe it or not, I had an opportunity to be an underwater filmmaker because I videotaped the underwater hockey championships.
Oh my goodness.
You thought pickleball was odd or rare. And I'm like, underwater hockey? Yeah. People have an irregular pool with a flat bottom. they snorkel and have a brass puck, and they have to go down and move this puck on the. So
that's cool. Ball, that's cool.
Pickleball might be rare, but underwater hockey is rarer. Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the United States.
Really?
It is. If you everywhere you go in the United States, they're tearing out tennis courts and they're building pickleball courts. It's an amazing sport.
Well, I know you do competitive cycling. You're very much of an athlete, which has been always impressive, especially for a guy who's over 30. Were you athletic when you were younger too, or just more recently?
No, I've always, in high school, I ran the mile, set a record at a school, football, basketball, track. I was a pole vaulter. I've done triathlons, did 42 Olympic distance triathlons in my 40s across the United States, did an Ironman. Yeah, I've done a lot of sports.
Wow. I didn't know you're such a jock. So we're going to talk about your book a lot today. And before we do, and we'll get into your story too. I want to hear more details about your story because that's amazing from what I read. What are some of the key takeaways people can expect on the show today? What can they take notes on and go back to their place or home and go, I'm going to do this to become a better person or healthier?
I think the thing that's most fascinating about the American diet and about our current situation is that we really don't have advocates to help us achieve any kind of optimal health. The takeaway is this: you go to a doctor, you have a symptom for some sickness or some pain or some problem, and doctors don't get any nutritional training when they go through school, maybe a couple of hours. So when you're with a doctor, all they do, they look at your symptoms and then they prescribe a medicine that is sometimes worse than what you're dealing with. And so really what people should take away and what we're all about is helping people become scientists, where we give them a straightforward way to figure out, is there a way I can fix my health problem from a nutritional standpoint instead of taking these medicines that make and can make situations worse? I mean, you just look at any prescription and look at all of the side effects, all the dangerous things that can happen to someone.
Yeah, I know. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but when I do, I know, we're almost the same age. I'm like, they didn't used to run all these ads before, like all these ads for drugs. I'm like, I asked a doctor once, I said, do people actually come in and say, tell me more about Humira or something? Because yeah, they do. And it's so funny, yeah, because they spend as much time on the side effects and dangers as the benefits. So, and it's so weird to because we say these statements like food is your number one medicine and the body knows how to heal itself. All these things sound so so trite. We don't really take them to heart, I think.
Doug, think about this for a second.
Yeah.
1999. I was on. From 1999 to let's just go 6 years ago, I was on 6 medications for peripheral neuropathy, arthritis, my back pain. I mean, it's ED. I was on all these medications, and not once since 1999 has a doctor ever called me and said, David, you've been on this medication for a long time. I think it's time to help you get off and be medicine free. Let's talk about your nutrition. Let's see what we can do. Doug, have you ever had a doctor on any prescriptions you've ever had ever call you and encourage you and help you to get off of them?
No, not once. I remember getting a exam for something once, and he wanted to order. I had a PSA, right? The PSA on the
right
guys, and my I forget the reading was, but it was like a little bit elevated, and I was like 40 something. It's like, we better order this additional test, it's gonna cost $1,000 or whatever. It's like, I don't have prostate cancer, this, what are you doing? Because you probably just check it out.
Yep.
And that was the first clue. I'm like, wow, this is a real business. This is really about, sorry, I mean, we don't want to bash doctors too much, because I know we don't have to be, we choose to be pro something, not anti something, right, which is great. But at the same time, they spend years at university and medical school. And like you said, they get like one nutrition course, but we eat every day. You know, it's like so important, but it's not discussed. And the whole, you know, I keep laughing at the whole food pyramid thing. When I was in the 60s and 70s, it was like all this, you know, grain and breads and cereals. And I'm like, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't have too much of that. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Every time I hear a story about somebody that's had a bad experience with a doctor, I always stop them and I go, you know, you have to understand doctors are practicing medicine.
Yeah.
Right. And they're doing the very best that they can. Right. But there's so much out there that's beyond what they're learning, beyond their knowledge, that we can do to take back our health.
Right. Right. So we could talk a little bit about your journey and the cancer and stuff. Before I do, what about somebody who's doesn't have any ailments? They're just trucking along, doing okay. What about the prevention side? That's one another thing that they don't normally do because they're treating something. They're not talking about prevention. I know you're, right, you know, Carlo's big into this, of course. So tell us about more prevention when it comes to your nutrition.
Here's the thing. Think about this. When people are in their 20s and 30s, late 30s, early 40s, they can eat anything and tolerate and deal with the consequences. And really what's happening is we're seeing in America, people are hitting their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and now they're having serious health issues or some major health crisis. And they're like, why can't I eat like the way I used to? Or why can't I drink beverages like I used to? You know, why am I having this? Well, what's interesting is in their 20s and 30s, if they were to prevent these from happening, they would have to make nutritional changes back then. And it's hard. That's why our target market is people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. We'd love to help people in their 70s and 80s, but they're not willing to change, right? They're not willing to change their nutrition. And so the people that are having a crisis right now, like I had, and we'll share that with you later in the show. But, you know, once you start having all these health crises, you're like, okay, what do I got to do to change something? And so prevention is really hard because when nothing's wrong with you, you know, why would you change the way you eat? Why is the way, you know, why do you change your beverages if you're tolerating it all? But then you get to the health crisis and sometimes it's too late.
I know. When I was a kid, you go through like, we take like this half gallon of ice cream. My buddy and I would just cut it in half and we, you know, eat the whole thing. Like, you know, I was then I'm thinking your body just metabolizes it and go, I guess. It's just a thing. And it's funny you mentioned the fact that as we get older, there's a mindset shift. I think it, and that's, I have another client who's a longevity expert and we are looking backwards. Like, well, my dad died at this age, so I will probably too, or this is the natural part of aging. And they're always looking to the past versus the future technology or new ideas. And I think that's an important distinction for health and longevity. It's like, don't look backwards. Look forward to what you can do and the new information and stuff that's out there. So now I want to hear about this cancer thing and how, I mean, that's a serious diagnosis. Tell us, you know, how it came up and what you did about it.
So just a little, let me go backwards just a little bit. Because the cancer is part of a whole string of events that we finally connected the dots. So, you know, I had serious issues growing up to where I'd eat and then I'd be rolled up in a ball in the fetal position in so much pain. Then I got diagnosed with colitis and Crohn's. I had multiple cases of bronchitis a year, pneumonia, and it just kept growing. And then I get to 1999, I've got this peripheral neuropathy in my feet where my feet feel like they're on fire and I can't even sleep at night with a sheet on my feet. And these things just keep coming and growing. And then I got my right knee was in so much pain. I couldn't walk up and down the stairs. And I got arthritis in this left hand. I couldn't even open and close it. And then I got arthritis all the way up my spine, my neck. And then in 2015, I had a weird symptom and I had blood in my urine and I had a back surgery in October. And this was January. I thought this had something to do with my back surgery. Then it happened again in February. One day I kind of put it off. And then March it happened one day again. And then in April, I had 3 days, solid blood in my urine. I finally went and got a mason jar, filled it up, put it on the counter. My wife walked in the bathroom and I said, "Carla, do you think this is something I need to be worried about?" She goes, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, get down to the doctor right now." You know, and I'm like, okay, okay. And so I rushed down to the InstaCare. I took my little jar, I had it hidden in my jacket. And so they get me back to the doctor. I pull a jar out and I said, "Is this something I need to worry about?" And he says, "Well, I can't use that, but let's get another sample. And the good news would be is if the test comes back and you have an infection." And that's all they said. And I'm like, "Well, what does that mean?" So then I go out, sit in the lobby. I come back and he says, "Bad news. You don't have an infection. You need to see a urologist right now." So they gave me a list. I lucked out. There happened to be one in my neighborhood I knew. Got into him a few days later. They did this whole procedure, got up in the bladder, and they found 3 tumors embedded in the bladder wall. And one of them had a nicked vein. And honestly, Doug, I am so lucky, because had that not have happened, that cancer would have gone through the bladder wall. And then it's called transitional cancer, and it would have gone throughout my body, and you and I wouldn't be talking today, because once that happens, they call you the walking dead.
Okay. Wow. So was there any kind of screening? I'm thankful that it pierced the wall and had the blood, right? We got that part.
Yep.
Had that not happened, is there any screening that people...
No, there's nothing. And that's the challenge with cancer. Right. When you have bladder cancer or pancreatic cancer or lung cancer, you know, that those nodules get started. And, you know, if you don't catch them for whatever, you got to have some kind of situation where they, you know, come out. And so, and my point is, the reason I wanted to kind of show that little history before was that all of those things are interconnected. And that's what this book, Eating to Live, Unlocking the Leaky Gut Code, is about, is that my wife and I were able to take all that history, the cancer, and then figure out that I had a leaky gut, which was causing inflammation, which since I was a little kid was causing that inflammation completely messes with your immune system. See, like you and I right now are sitting here and we're producing cancer cells.
Oh, great.
Right. But if you have a healthy...
I should have put vodka in here.
There you go. And a strong immune system, then it kills the cancer. So in my case, because of the leaky gut and the things that were going on, because I had a compromised immune system, I got cancer. Now, that isn't the only cancer. I've had this big scar here is melanoma. So they took out this much of my chin, pulled it all together. So I've had... melanoma right here is squamous, right here is squamous. I've had basal. So I've had 5 forms of cancer. And that's all because I have a compromised immune system from a leaky gut.
So I think that's one of the things I learned when I read Eating to Live, Unlocking Leaky Gut Code, was the complexities of leaky gut, right? I have one other physician friend who talked to me about it a couple of years ago, and I didn't know much about it. So you guys kind of figured this out on your own.
Yes.
What was the thought process? And what I know the story, but I'm telling, okay, now we got to like fix this. How did it lead you to your gut?
So fortunately in 2018, you know, after I'd gone through 2 rounds of chemo, I had had 3 surgeries, 21 bladder tumors, got into 2018. You know, I said that my knee, I couldn't even go up and down stairs. I went in for stem cell therapy, and the doctor I was meeting with, Dr. Khan, says, "David, for you to have this stem cell therapy and PRP for your back, you cannot take any more Advil." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, Advil, Aleve, ibuprofen, those are all classified as NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs." And I, you know, I didn't know what that meant. And the crazy thing, because I was an athlete and all the pain I've always dealt with,
Yeah.
I always took 800 to 2400 milligrams a day. You know, the doctors prescribed naproxen for me, right? Yeah. Along with Lortab for my back and different things. But he said that, and I said, well, why? I said, I can't live without this. And he said, the NSAIDs disrupt the stem cells. And I'm like, what? You mean stem cells, which are the, you know, the base of our bodies that create, you know, I'm going to create new meniscus. I'm going to create all these new things in my body. You're saying that it disrupts that. And he says, yeah, you have to be off of that 30 days. Then I can do the treatment. And then you can't take it again for a total of 5 months. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And there's no way.
What was your pain level here during all this?
Already, my pain level was between an 8 and a 10 every day with Advil. And Advil would sometimes drop me down to like a 6.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the end of the first month and end of, I had the treatment the end of May, the end of June, we had a meeting. And I said to him, I said, Dr. Khan, I need to verify when I can start taking NSAIDs again. And he said, David, I would recommend you never take NSAIDs again. But here's the interesting thing, Doug. He never told me what to do or give me any advice. He just said, stop taking the NSAIDs.
Yeah.
So then in July, I was watching, I was on the internet surfing and a video popped up from a famous doctor who has a restorative medicine practice.
Yeah.
And when I watched his stuff, he said the same thing. He said, do not ever take NSAIDs. And he was the one that introduced Carla and I to this concept of leaky gut, because he said that those NSAIDs are what create and open the junctions in the small intestines that let through the bacteria, let through, you know, the bad stuff into your bloodstream. And then when it goes into your bloodstream, then your body goes and starts fighting it, causes inflammation. If you have that all the time, then guess what? That compromises your immune system.
Wow. Wow. So, all right. So you discovered this by, you know, surfing the internet, talking to this doc and whatnot. Leaky gut's a real thing. And you go, okay, well, I can't take this painkiller anymore. So you just, okay, I'm going to live at a pain level 6 to every day or 10. I mean, what?
You know, it was so critical for me to fix my knee.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, okay, I'll do this. And the sad thing was I was doing this protocol that was juicing, right, to get the antioxidants and do everything. And so what I was doing, I didn't realize then, which my wife and I have learned now, is I was feeding the cancer sugar, which cancer loves.
Yeah.
And then I had food sensitivities. And so with all of that, I was even pushing more stuff through the intestinal wall into the bloodstream. And so I was creating this mess. And so I can remember to the day, Doug, October 18th, 2018, I got 6 months, almost 6 months without taking the NSAIDs and working with the second doctor, changing my diet. All of a sudden I dropped from an 8 and a 10 every day down to a 4.
Wow.
So here I'm not taking NSAIDs anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm taking certain foods out of my diet. I'm eating the right things. And all of a sudden I go down to a 4. And I knew we were onto something. And that was really the beginning of really getting into the leaky gut and learning what do I got to do to heal my leaky gut. And let me make one last point.
Yes.
Here we are today. I told you I was on 6 drugs. Right? 6 different drugs. Mm-hmm. So here I am today. So October 2020, I finally, working with the doctors, got off my last drug. So I'm no longer taking Lyrica for my neuropathy, Cymbalta for neuropathy. These are heavy duty drugs. I'm not taking the Lortab. I had an ED medicine I was taking. So in my 50s, I got ED. Now today, that all works perfectly fine with no medicine. I was taking finasteride for a swollen prostate, plus all these NSAIDs. And so here I am today, no pain in my feet, no arthritis, no more pain in the leaky gut, No more brain fog that I was dealing with that comes from leaky gut. My colitis is gone. My colon is clean. I'm sitting here today. Honestly, Doug, I'm a walking miracle.
That is amazing. And before we get too excited, you got to let people know that, you know, disclaimer, this is David's journey. Okay. So don't think that just because you read this amazing book and go through stuff that you can get off everything. But the point that, you know, food is medicine needs to be taught and made more clear for people, because your journey is nothing short of amazing with that. Wow. How did you, tell me about Kyle Carlin. She became a nutritionist out of this, right? Nutritional counselor.
So last year, so we have a funny joke that runs in our family. So yeah. Doug, what happens if you take two serial entrepreneurs and you lock them down in COVID for 60 days?
Well, you either gain 10 pounds or you lose 20. I don't know, one of those things.
So we started a new business. So yeah. I started writing this book. I thought, you know, I need to write about this journey I've been on. So Carla goes back to school and she gets a degree. So she's now a certified functional nutrition counselor. Mm-hmm. And she's now even gone on beyond that. She's getting more accreditations. Nice. And so we just started saying, okay, is there a way that we can really change my health? And you got to remember, mm-hmm. when we started March of 2020, writing the book and she's at school, we had an inkling because we'd been working with this internationally known doctor that does restorative medicine. Mm-hmm. He's the one that said he could get me off all the medications. And so I believed him. So then I went to every one of my doctors and said, okay, I want you to help me get off this medicine. And so because of his belief that we can be without medicine, I started doing it. His average patient, Doug, comes in between 7 and 17 medications that they're on. And did you know when you get 6 medications, you will have one of those 6 medications that will have an interaction?
Yep. It's and crazy. So many combinations they don't even know, I'm sure. It's like, well, yes. I don't know what's going to happen, right? They don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, I see all the time, we'll try this for a while and see what happens. I've heard that a few times. Like, you're going to try something? Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. I mean, okay, think about this, Doug. Let me just make another point that just blows me away. Since 1960, look what's happened from 1960 to now with diabetes, heart disease, obesity. You look at, we are the unhealthiest nation in the world, in the developed world, the United States is. Here we have the most money, the most freedoms, but we are the sickest nation in the United States. And I am a product of that. Since I was a little kid, I've been fed sugar, unbelievable, and it's just grown. When I wrote a book in 2014, I did a study on sugar. Do you know in 1805, the average American only had 5 pounds of sugar, and most of that was fructose because there really wasn't granulated sugar then. In 2010, a study came out, and the average American in 2010 is 130 pounds of sugar. And then now here we are in 2021, and it's even grown more. And sugar has been one of the biggest culprits in my health because I was pre-diabetic. I have 5 times greater, or I had 5 times a greater chance to have a heart attack than other men my same age. And it just went on and on and on, you know, over 5 years ago until over 2 years ago.
It's crazy about, I even read the article that they, you know, fed the mice sugar and cocaine.
Yes.
And they had bigger withdrawals off of the sugar than cocaine. I mean, it was such a severe craving and addiction.
Well, it's worse than that.
Yeah.
Do you know why the mice, did you know the mice will always go for sugar before they do cocaine? Do you know why?
It's less expensive. Just
good point. No, the reason being is you get a quicker and faster high off of sugar than you get off of cocaine and the other drugs.
I wouldn't know. I haven't done cocaine for days now. I don't know.
It's a gateway drug. Just like Advil and ibuprofen, those other drugs, those are all gateway drugs for the pharmaceutical industry to get to the more serious drugs.
Yeah, I was somebody, I forgot, I was posting something on social media, and it was something about health, right? And I'm like, you know, I did an article on this a while ago that I think it's about $5 billion is spent advertising fast food, but the International Broccoli Growers Association gets no play in the media, you know, nothing. So if you think that this is out of your control, it partly is because we're so indoctrinated into everything. And this high high fructose corn syrup, right? That's like in everything now. And, you know, it's just.
But there's an interesting point.
Yeah.
So did you know Canada and Europe banned high fructose corn syrup?
Yes. I read that last year. Right.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And here in the U.S., it's in so many products.
Well, we have better lobbyists than they do.
Yes.
Sorry. I did a political book on the lobbyist stuff, and they've got so much money pumping into those things, writing our laws and giving them the workaround on stuff. It's tough. So other than going off grid and growing my own food, what can people do to you know, at least make it some kind of attempt or progress towards healing their gut and living healthily? Yeah.
So the point here is it's a customized journey. You said in the very beginning that everybody has different DNA, right? So here's a funny thing. My wife has a sensitivity to spinach, which is supposed to be super healthy, right? But it's not good for her, where spinach is great for me. She can do salmon, I can't do salmon. So what we've done is we've created an e-learning program where we help people become their own scientists. In fact, we have this really cool app that's just coming out right now called the Eating to Live app. And so what we're trying to do is get people to track their pain, track their bowel movement, because those are what come from the foods they eat, the beverages they drink. So in our app, they'll track those things. And what we try to do is help them correlate certain foods, certain things that's causing them from the esophagus all the way down through their colon is causing them problems. And then in our e-learning program, what we do is we've created all the meal plans, shopping lists, food lists. We've created 19 professional videos that we take them step by step, where what they can do is we take them through a program where they eliminate certain foods that we know cause problems. And when their pain is zero and their bowel movements are correct, then what we do then is start adding foods back in. And if they add one at a time, and then after 3 days, if all of a sudden they're having problems in their stomach and they're having pain, then they know that particular food doesn't work for them. And then they can take that out, see their pain level goes down, and we work them through to find those things. So when I started a year ago, I had 30 food sensitivities. And as I've healed my gut, that's dropped down to 16 food sensitivities. And so really what we've done, Doug, you know, what's important at the end of the day that I'd like to share with you on the show is that we have created a link on our website, and it's eatingtolive.com/ebook, and they can get our book for free. So they can start reading about this journey that I went on, and then how we can help them with lifestyle changes to get to their optimal health. This whole thing, Doug, for my wife and I, is a cause. I mean, look, I'm going to be 65 in 2 months. You know, I'm retired, but I want other people to experience the miraculous health I've gotten by getting off of medications and eating the right foods. Now, I do need to make the point, everybody needs to work with their doctor. We don't make any diagnosis. We don't do anything, right? They have to work with their doctor. And then that way they've got someone there to help them. But Doug, I could talk forever. This is such an amazing topic.
Well, we'll be back on. We'll do the news again, because there's a lot to cover. We only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to just congratulate you on doing something I haven't seen. And we've done dozens of books in the health and wellness space, and they're all promoting their thing, right? I've got the Mediterranean, the keto, the paleo, the whatever. And yours is the only one I've ever seen that says, hey, let's adapt it to who you are, your DNA, your lifestyle, whatever it is, and find out systematically what's good and what's not good for you just based on how you feel and bowel movements and, you know, basic stuff that you should know.
But you know, we don't track it and people don't journal, so they don't know. I can tell you a funny little story real quick. Yeah. So my wife asked me last year to do what's called a food, mood, poop journal. And so I was doing that every day. This is something that she was having to do for her classes. And so I get home, it's been whatever. And I'm at home and I said, "Dear, I do not feel good. I've got the runs." And she immediately goes to my journal because I kept track of everything. And I had just coming back from a fly fishing trip. I stopped and got my favorite shake, which is a German chocolate shake. So I'm dairy, I'm lactose intolerant. And there's just, I have some certain issues with sugar. And so my wife goes, look right here in the journal. 2 days ago, you had this shake. You know, you're not supposed to have the shake. And I was so sick. And I went, yep, you're right. So that's been over a year ago, Doug. Do you think I've had a shake since?
No, or maybe no.
Because it's not worth it. Why have all that pain? But I finally, from the journaling and tracking, I finally knew as a scientist, my own scientist, that that food was nothing but pain for me.
I love the fact that you eliminate things one at a time and then add them one at a time. That is so, you know, you don't have to be a real scientist to understand how smart that is, right? Because there's been things, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, go on a diet, start exercising and start taking, well, which one's working for you? You got to do one at a time.
Right.
The control group, right? That's really genius. David, this is, we definitely want to talk again because I got a lot more questions for you for another show. Where can people get this assessment and stuff? Where do they go? Or the book?
So there's two things that we do.
Yeah.
So you can go to eatingtolive.com and do a free leaky gut quiz to see if you're a candidate for that. And you can get our book for free as a download at eatingtolive.com/ebook, spelled EBOOK.
And if you can't spell that, you've got other issues. So yeah, make sure you can. I'm sorry. I'm being a jerk. David, so great to have you on today. Definitely want to get you back. Folks, David Mean, Eating to Live. Go to eatingtolive.com and the links and stuff are in the show notes below. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you on today. Folks, we come back. David will be on again for sure. But make sure you click below, subscribe, like the show. We got some goodies there as well as David's goodies. This is Doug Crowe from the Off Your Brand Show. Have a good one.